something I don't already know. I know that you can't stand these things I'm preaching in the streets. But how can I contain the truth I hold inside? All the hurting people that I see, so I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways.
Hey everybody, welcome back. You are listening to the True Stream Oasis podcast. You can find the True Stream Oasis podcast at truthstream.podomatic.com. And True Stream is a part of the Revelations Radio Network. And if you're looking for the Revelations Radio Network, you can find it at revelationsradionetwork.com, along with a lot of other great podcasts. It's many hosts, one message, and that message is salvation. We're working really hard to get you guys the information that you need, the truth that you need, so that we can make it through this marathon through the end times. And if you guys are like me, it does feel like a marathon, doesn't it? And, you know, it seems like in the news, I was thinking over the past week, just looking at a lot of the news stories, you know, there's just prediction after prediction after prediction, where, you know, rumors of wars, rumors of the economy collapsing. It's just all over the internet. It's like wildfire, like a grapevine. And you know, I'm guessing that a lot of you guys out there are getting a little weary. It's kind of like the little boy who cried wolf, you know. It's like, oh, the sky is falling, you know. And it just doesn't happen the way the warnings are coming. So just hang tight, guys. You know, things are crazy. Stuff's spinning around. I often refer to the end times as like a whirlwind. And we gotta either stay out of the whirlwind, or we have to stay in the center of the storm. Because if we get caught up in all this, we're going to find ourselves spinning around and lose our bearing where our faith is. And this is the battle. It's a battle for the mind. Any of you guys out there that are familiar with Alex Jones, he calls it InfoWars. Yeah, it's definitely an information war. And just hang tight. I'm with you. I'm feeling the same thing. Just keep your faith in the Lord. Keep it simple. You know, keep it simple. Jesus said that we're supposed to come to him like children and just trust our daddy. You know, just trust daddy, because it's getting crazy. There's a lot of stuff going around. It's nuts. I'm almost getting sick of it, and that kind of worries me, because it's almost like there's a battle for you to, you know, just close your eyes, you know, because you're just like, oh man, I'm so sick of all these predictions on the internet. I'm so sick of turning on the news and seeing, oh, this is going to happen. We're going to go to war with Iran. The economy is going to collapse, and it's just bad news after bad news. But you know what? We have the Bible. And the Bible's got good news. So let's focus on the fact that over the horizon of this bad news, that there is light. And that light is the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, who laid his life down for us. And he told us we were going to have tribulation. Nobody can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt where we are. But we do want to be vigilant, because it does look like all the signs are coming together. But there is a lot of manipulation going on. You know, man is involved in this. And the people that are at the top, the elites, they're well aware of the prophecies. I personally happen to think they've, you know, that the end times are more spiritually understood, and that they don't really know what's going on. And I think they're falling into a trap trying to complete the prophecies, maybe literally. But that's just a personal feeling that I have in you know, in my spirit. Be that as it may. But just hang in there, guys. You know, he'll never leave us nor forsake us, no matter how bad it gets. I mean, when you get in darkness, you squeal like a baby. At least I do. You know, I've been going through a really difficult time now, and a lot of you guys have emailed me, and I really appreciate it. It's awesome. I have received some emails from some of you listeners out there, and it's just absolutely comforting to know that, you know, you guys are going through the same things. I got an email from one listener. It was telling me he was going through financial chaos. Just seems like it's one spiritual attack after another. And when you're sitting in a position like this and you're putting, you know, stuff out there to people, you know, over, you know, like a broad audience, and you got all the responses flowing back into one place, it's kind of like being on the top of a hill, you know, and you can kind of get a view of what the whole battle is instead of being down in the battle and you're sitting there fighting and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm facing all this stuff, and, you know, like, where are my brothers and sisters at? You know, are they facing the same kind of attacks that I am? Well, let me tell you, being on somewhat of a little hill here, I'm getting emails from you guys, and there is a common theme through this. Satan is attacking, and I'm getting a lot of similar emails from people saying, you know, they're being attacked financially, they're being attacked spiritually, and spiritually is a broad term. You know, there's so many different things going on. So take heart, take courage, at least in the fact that you're not alone, and that all of your brothers and sisters are suffering the same things. Okay, you're not alone, and it probably feels exactly just as bad to them as it does to you. But we have the Lord, and we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comforts us. Okay, and that's what I'm trying to do with this podcast right now. I started out with a lot of conspiracies and, you know, not going real deep into it, but, you know, right now I feel like people need comfort. And, you know, I'm not candy coating or anything. I just want to be your brother to come in here and just give you a hug. You know, I can't really give you a hug, but I can, you know, comfort you with the Word of God, and just let you know that I love all you guys, because you guys have been awesome. I mean, God has just sent listeners to this podcast that are, it's just a blessing. And I don't even know what to say, you know, because it just means so much to me. It really does. And those aren't just words that I'm saying. I really do mean that. But I, on the last podcast with Church Bashing to the Extreme, I got some feedback on you from you guys, and that was great, because that was just something that, you know, I saw that's coming up, you know, and it's getting worse, and I just wanted to, you know, put that out there, because we need unity. We need unity, guys. You know, we're a body, and we're all brothers and sisters, and man, we're going to stand before the Lord. You know, we're all, and we don't want to displease the Lord. You know, we don't want to just stand before the Lord and say, oh, you know, I'm so scared to stand before the Lord and be ashamed. That's one dimension of it, but we love the Lord. He laid his life down for us. I mean, look at the world. I mean, anybody who truly gets converted and the eyes of their spiritual understanding are opened, it's crazy. You know, you start seeing it, and that's when you really become so utterly thankful to the Lord for being saved out of this. It just produces so much thankfulness, because you're like, wow, this world's crazy. It's dark. I, you know, for me, for 32 years before I genuinely came to the Lord, you know, I was caught up into it. You know, even though I knew the Bible and stuff, you know, I was caught up. And when God opened my eyes, I remember the first few months after God saved me and filled me with His Spirit, it was like a newborn baby opening their eyes at the first time. It was overwhelming. I went through like a really bad spiritual attack. Like, it was just relentless. It was almost like, you know, Satan knew that I was a newborn babe in Christ, and I was isolated, you know, in the particular situation I was in. And man, I would just cry out to the Lord. I almost was like asking the Lord, I'm like, can you close my eyes a little bit? I can't handle seeing all this stuff. And I needed to get stronger so that I could deal with it. I'm hoping that there's somebody out there that relates to that. But man, it produces so much thankfulness in you. Like, you know, that's why it's not that savior is a bad word, but it's been so used, they're you know, your mind is kind of deadened a little bit towards it. That's why I've chosen the word rescuer, because he really did rescue us, and it's amazing. But let's have some unity here. And I spoke a little bit about communication on the last podcast, and how when we speak, it's light. And the name of this podcast is called The Light of Communication. I don't know how long I'm going to speak on it. I have, you know, this moving around in my spirit, and I'm just trusting that the Lord's going to help me get this out. But, you know, I have found in my personal experience in the last week that it's come to a deeper understanding. It's like you understand something. You ever have that happen? You understand something, but then something happens, and you're like, wow, it just opened up. Like, I understand this at a deeper level. That's what happened to me this week. I had some discussions with a very good friend of mine, and we had a misunderstanding, and it seemed like it was, you know, I was thinking one thing in my heart, and they were thinking something in their heart, and neither one of us had a bad motive, but it was just like Satan was messing with us, you know, because we were failing to get on that same wavelength. You know, I was thinking that my friend was doing something, you know, one way, and they were thinking something towards me, and it wasn't bad. We just didn't make that, like, you know, like two train cars coming together. We just didn't, you know, connect that coupler, you know, where we were connected. And we worked at it. You know, we spoke for probably about an hour and a half, just sorting things out. And you know what? It was awesome. It was like, after we both understood each other, we both understood where each other was coming from, and we realized that neither one of us meant any harm. You know, it was just a big misunderstanding. And it was in that moment that God really took me to that next level. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. This is huge. This is massive. It's almost like I looked around and I was like, this is what's going on between our brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is what's happening with the denominations, you know, the different denominations, the different churches. This is what happens in families and relationships. This is why people get divorced. It's incredible. And we've heard, you know, psychologists, secular psychologists talk about this. But, you know, let's just break it down and get simple about it, you know. Just keep it simple. And hopefully, I'm hoping that I can transfer my understanding of it at the level that I went to. And there's probably guys out there, you know, you guys out there that understand this at a deeper level than I do. But I just felt compelled to share it because it was a real revelation to me. And I realized that Satan works in darkness. And I made a connection to a couple of scriptures, and I want to share those with you. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know, how do you... The Word of God is light, okay? And any truth is light, okay? So if we can get, you know, the real reality, the real perception of reality transferred to somebody else, you know, your perception is, I'm doing this for this reason, and I need to communicate that to you so you know, and you're telling the truth, and then you get that other person perceiving the situation the same way as you do, and then you're on that same wavelength, and then you have unity. You know, it's like when I did the podcast, you know, what is our standard, God or man? I talked a little bit about that. You know, that's why everybody within a certain country uses the same measurement system, because we've all got to be in agreement, you know? And the battle right now is, what standard are you going to line up under? Are you going to line up under God's standard, God's measure of rule, the ruler? Or are you going to measure, you know, line up under Satan's standard? And Satan wants to tell you that there is no standard, you can do whatever you want, but he's got standards. See, he's the man of lawlessness, but guess what? it's not total lawlessness. It's just law. It's just not going by God's laws. He wants to make his own laws. He still goes by laws, but he wants to go by his own laws. He doesn't want to obey God's laws. So in order to come to unity in the body of Christ, we all have to have the same understanding. And it's just got to be that way. It's never going to get fixed. There's no way around that. There is no way around that. Think about it. To be in unity, we all have to come to the same understanding. And, you know, this end time system is, you know, they're gonna force people to come to the same understanding through force. God's kingdom does it through desire, through your own desires, where it's willing, where it's not like the law banging on you from the outside, forcing you to try to obey it. The law is now written on your hearts, and it becomes part of your desires. That's the big difference between these two kingdoms. One is forced, and one is done through love and desire. And, you know, so we've got to come to unity. So, you know, through this situation with my good friend, I came to this revelation that truth is light. And, you know, when you communicate that truth, it's light. So, you know, you can spread light, you can shed light, should I say, through communication. And that's why God says, you know, witness to people that you are the light of the world. Do you just walk into a room and just stand there silently and the room lights up spiritually? No, you've got to open your mouth and speak the truth in love. So communication is not just one of those little quirky psychological things that we talk about. It's super important. Super important. And, you know, it just hit me like a sledgehammer. So I won't go on and on and on about that, but hopefully I got that that understanding across to you. And what I want to do is I want to start out just reading a passage of scripture to you. I may not have to read this whole thing, but you know what? The Word of God's good to hear it. So, and right in the heart of this passage is what I want to talk about, and I'm going to allude to some other verses. But it's Ephesians chapter 4. And as always, we'll start at verse 1, and there's 32 verses here. So let's read this, and let's ask the Lord to give us understanding. Dear Heavenly Father, we love your word, Lord. We're your children, and Lord, just help us. Just help us. Help us understand your word, Lord. Help us to see your light. Your word says that we see light in your light. That's an awesome light. That's a lot of light. And this world is getting dark, Father. It's getting so dark, and we need your encouragement, Lord. We need your encouragement. We need your Holy Spirit more than ever, Lord. And just be with us, Lord. Be with us and help us to have faith, because we're all in this ship, Lord. And just like the apostles, Father, the apostles got scared when they saw the storms. And I can totally relate to that, you know. But you got up and you said, where's your faith? Help us to have faith, Lord. Help us to have faith when it seems like you're sleeping in the boat with us, Lord. Help us to know that when you said we're going to the other side, that whether it feels like you're sleeping or not, Lord, we trust your word that it doesn't matter if there's storms, that we're going to the other side because you said we're going to the other side, Father. Help us to have faith. And as I read your word, Lord, give me clarity. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, and help us to feed on your word and to be nourished by it and for us to be changed by it, Lord. We love you, Father, and we love you because you first loved us. And we are so thankful for the sacrifice of your Son for our sins, because there was no other way. And you're just awesome, Father. And oh, we don't even realize it at this point the way we need to, Lord. But I know one day we will. We'll be like him, because we'll see him as he is, Lord. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And I just ask all of these things in Christ's precious name. Thank you, Father. All right, let's start at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." And notice that word says bearing. It does take some work. It feels like you're carrying somebody else's load, and that doesn't feel good. But you know what? You do it because you love them. That's why it says bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We must keep peace with one another. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that baptism is the baptism of fire. And fire represents trials and tribulations. We go through the fire. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And that is that spiritual temple. We're living stones. And as many of you guys know, I've alluded to it many times, I personally believe that even if there is a third temple, it's not God's temple. That we are his temple. It's all over the New Testament, especially Peter alluded to it, and Paul talked about it a lot. But that's what we're trying to build up, is build up the people of God, because we are his temple, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge. How do you get knowledge? By communicating the truth and giving that knowledge, the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, you know, just like the disciples in the boat, you know. They would get tossed back and forth. Oh, Lord, don't you care that we perish? You know, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Now, how many people, I know you guys, and I've done it, been blown around by some teachings. You know, you're like a reed swaying in the wind, left and right. Oh my gosh, you know, that guy sounds like he's a genuine Christian, and he's saying this. And that one over there seems genuine, but he's saying something different. And it's that unity. You get tossed back and forth, because, you know, inherently a Christian is soft-hearted, and they just don't want to believe that somebody's false. They don't want to believe that there's a wolf in shepherd's clothing. You know, the shepherd wears the sheepskin of the sheep. You know, it doesn't mean that when Jesus said, "Beware, they come to you in wolf's clothing," or as a wolf in sheep's clothing, they didn't say they came as sheep. He said they come in sheep's clothing. They come to you like shepherds, you know. And the sheep look at it, and they instantly recognize the sheepskin, and they follow, you know. So we need to be discerning and know the Word of God, and to make sure that we don't line up under false teachers and false shepherds. So I just lost my spot here, so if you guys are patient for a second here. Here we go. Then we will be no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Now that tells you right there that some people do this on purpose. I've talked about this. I said some people are just went to seminary and they're deceived and they believe it. They're not, you know, they're not rubbing their hands trying to deceive people. But the Bible always tells the truth. There are some people out there who know what they're doing. Just listen to the words. And by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Scheming denotes that they're making a plan. They're doing it on purpose. Instead, verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ, our hero, our rescuer. Oh, Christ is awesome. He's awesome. And anybody out there that doesn't see how awesome he is, they don't understand where they're at. They don't understand they're in the mud puddle. They don't understand that they're in a pit. They may be stuck in the love of the world. They might mouth out of one side of their mouth, yeah, the government's got problems and some people are corrupt and everything. It's like classic Orwellian doublethink, you know? They're just like out of one side of their mouth, they're like saying, oh yeah, I know the politicians are, you know, they're corrupt and all this, but when it comes down to it, until they get rocked and can't trust anything, they realize that they did trust it. And that's what the conspiracies have done. The finding out all these conspiracies and everything, when you get this, you lose trust in everything, and then you're like, oh my gosh, you feel so rocked and so insecure, and then you have to come to the realization, you're like, oh my gosh, I did trust them. I was mouthing out of one side of my mouth, you know, that I didn't trust them. But when you actually got to the point where you lost all your trust and then you felt insecure, the reason you feel insecure is because you had some trust that you didn't know, because it made you insecure when even that was taken away. So yes, there are people walking around who seem like they know what's going on, and they're like, yeah, 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 when you tell them stuff. I know the politicians are liars. I know the governments are corrupt and everything. But basically, you know, there's still a lot of good. And I'm not here to judge how much good and how much evil is there. I'm just saying, you know, it's just people can sit there and look like they're distrusting, but they still have some trust down in there. And instead, we speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in all things. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And on this point, just a little sidetrack here. Hopefully I can get back on track, but I do want to mention something small here. There's a lot of talk going around, you know, that alluding to passages like John chapter 17, and how, you know, Christ said, I sat down on my Father's throne, you'll sit down on my throne, and, you know, we're all one with God and all this. Let us remember that Christ is the head, we are the body. We're all one, okay? But that doesn't mean we are God. Do not fall into that. I've said this one time before, I believe, in a podcast, and I want to reiterate it. Christ is the head, and Christ is, and this might cause a little controversy, for those that are Trinitarians, but, you know, Christ is the body that Yahweh God was dwelling in. There is only one Lord. It says in the Old Testament, I am your Savior. There's no other Savior but me. Okay? So, there is one Yahweh God, and Lord, your name is holy. And so there's no confusion there. We only have one God. We're not polytheists and we're not mysterious about it. Oh, they're three in one and it's all mysterious. No, there's one God and that's all there is. And Christ, what we think of Christ as the Son of Man, was just the temple walking around with the Spirit of the Father inside. He said to, was it Philip or Thomas? I think it was Philip. Pretty sure it was Philip. Philip said to Christ, he said, Lord, show us the Father. Now think about this. Christ looked at Philip and he said, Philip, he said, you've been with me all this time and you don't know me? Now Philip was saying, I want to see the Father. But Christ said, you've been with me all this time and you don't know me. Why do you think Christ said, you know, everything that the Father tells me, I speak? You know, he's like, you don't understand the whole interface here. I am a physical body temple walking around. The body is Christ, okay? But the Spirit that gave him life inside was the Father. And he's like, whatever's in my spirit, the body speaks, Okay? And that's the way we're supposed to be with the Lord. Whatever's in the Spirit of God, because God is a Spirit, He dwells in unapproachable light. Okay? So there's only one God. But don't fall into this New Age consciousness thing here, where, you know, they're like, oh, well, Christ was just showing us the way to Godhood. No. Christ is the head. We have the mind of Christ. They have the mind of Satan. And they're the body of the beast. We are the body of Christ. It's the antithesis, you know, like sunlight and black light. You know, they're both light, but they're different kinds of light, okay? It's like this mirrored counterfeiting thing going on, okay? It seems to line up, but if you have discernment, it doesn't. So we're going to, it says here, until we all reach in the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. All right? And we will grow up into Him in verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love. There you have the communication of the truth. Spreading that light. Okay, because Satan works in darkness, and I'm going to get into this. Let me get through this chapter, because every time I read a verse, it just brings something else up, and I can go off. But I know that I've learned, just by getting emails, just by little things that I say, people appreciate it, that evidently the Lord just gives me something, and God gets it providentially to whoever needs it. Starting at verse 16, from Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Now He's using a physical thing that we understand to teach a spiritual lesson, and that's what the whole physical world is for. That's why Jesus used parables with physical things like fig trees and olive trees. Sorry about that, guys. My phone just went off. That's why God used physical. Okay. Sorry about that. I didn't turn my phone down. That's a faux pas there. But the physical things, let's get back on track. A physical thing, Christ spoke in parables and used physical things that we understand to teach spiritual lessons. So, and that's how it works. It says He's using that example, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Verse 17, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In what? In the futility, the uselessness of their thinking. Now here's the verse I want you to key in on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Open your understanding and focus in like a laser beam and listen to this, because this is kind of what I was getting to, okay? They are darkened in their understanding. There's darkness in their understanding. And separated from the life of God because of the ignorance, because they don't know, that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Why are they ignorant? Why don't they know? It's not because people aren't coming to them and trying to tell them. It's not that the heavens don't declare the glory of God. It's not that, you know, that creation just screams out that there's a creator. It's not that. It all of this darkness in their understanding and the ignorance that's in them is causing a separation from the life of God. It's all due to the hardening of their hearts because they can't hear. They don't hear because they don't want to hear. Because if they hear it, they have to make a change. And they, you know, Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that men loved darkness rather than light. In the end, this is the condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. They wanted darkness. And so they wouldn't let the light in because the light... You know, they're sitting in a dark room. There's all this junky, disgusting stuff over their spirit and their life. And they don't want you to turn the light on because it's an example when you walk into a room and you want to see something, you turn the light on. And they don't want the light turned on. And that's why some of you guys, you're going to witness to people, and that's why they're looking at you funny. That's why they're persecuting you. That's why they're throwing stones at you. That's why they're looking at you funny and making you feel awkward. Like you're some kind of, you know... person that's just raining on their parade. That's why they do it. They don't want to see it because you're a light. You're communicating light. You're speaking the truth. And they don't want to hear it. And we have to do it. And it's a thankless job in the eyes of men. Because, you know, until, you know, God opens their understanding and he softens their heart, only God can do that and make them let the light in. He crashes into our darkness. We don't break into his light. It's due to the hardening of their hearts, having lost. And as they resist that light, they get harder and harder, and they don't have any sensitivity left. Verse 19, it says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality. They just gave themselves, they're like, oh, I'm not even going to resist it anymore, you know. They get to the point where they're hardened, and I've been there. Before 2001 and 9/11, before I got saved, I did some things that I'm so seriously ashamed of, I wouldn't even want to speak about it, you know. It's just, my heart was hardened, you know. And it's terrible. You can get to that place. That's why you need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And sometimes you make yourself get into the Old Testament, even though that's a really sharp sword because it's telling you the law on everything. Make yourself get in there. Make yourself feel that conviction, because you got to keep that sensitivity. If you lose that, that's danger zone. It says they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Verse 21, surely you heard of him and were taught him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. And how were you taught? Through language and communication. That ties into the language of deception. You can actually use language as a form of creating more darkness and confusion. Or you can use language as truth. You can't get knowledge from one person to the other unless it's through some form of communication. So we'll keep moving on here. It says in verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, the life you had before you came to Christ, to put off your old self. And that's a battle. It's not going to happen right away. You get saved, but your whole life is a process of sanctification and growing. Not making excuses, but I'm also not trying to hit you over the head with a sledgehammer and create false expectations that make people turn away from the Lord. There's grace and there's mercy. As long as you keep your eyes toward the Lord and you don't turn your hand away from the plow, you don't give up and walk backwards and look back to Sodom and Gomorrah like Lot's wife did, you know, you keep going. You persevere. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be made new, where? In your flesh. He was just talking about your flesh, your old self, your flesh. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, because repentance starts in the mind. The head tells the body what to do, so you got to start in the mind. You have to start agreeing with God. That's when you come to the Lord. You may not be able to stop these sins at first. You're a slave to sin. You're a slave to sin. You're in chains and bondage to sin. You are going to do what your greatest desire is at any given moment. If your greatest desire at any given moment is to obey Christ, you're a slave to do that. If your greatest desire at any given moment is to sin, you're a slave to do that. So the Holy Spirit has to change your desires in order to free you. Okay? So that's why he says to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God, not God himself, but to be like God, to mimic our Father in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Take the hood off, you know? That you know, you ever see somebody, that's what that reminds me of, when you see somebody, you know, like one of these old coven members or, you know, something, or like a druid, and they got a hood on, and you can't even see their face, you know, take the hood off, let the light in, let people see who you are, you know. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Why hide? Do you try to hide one hand from the other? You're like, oh, I'm going to grab that cup there, but I'm going to put my other hand behind there because I don't want to see it, you know. We're all one body. That might have been a stupid example, but you see what I'm getting at. Verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. that obviously tells us that there is a type of anger where you're not sinning. It's called righteous indignation, like Jesus did when he went into the temple and overturned the tables. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, because it gives the devil a foothold. Yeah, well, in the next verse. Ephesians 4:27, and do not give the devil a foothold. It's like he can get his foot in the door, you know? It's like you open the door to that anger and he sticks his foot in there and then you can't shut it. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others. There's that building up, communication, and for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And that's part of that whole desensitization thing. When you feel that conviction, as much as it makes you feel uncomfortable, it's supposed to feel uncomfortable. Its function is to feel uncomfortable, to make you run away from what you're doing. You're like, oh, I don't want to feel that anymore. Let me stop doing that. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't delve into that area and just keep doing that and push through the miserableness until you don't feel miserable anymore, because you'll be desensitized. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And as I read those words, I'm sure you can feel the negativity that has to do with communication, you know, slander and all that, you know, that negative communication. Be kind and compassionate to one another. You know, you come alongside somebody and you're passionate about what they're passionate about. Okay, you're compassionate, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. So I just added some extra teaching on some of the bread in there. I hope you guys enjoyed that. And but I did want to focus on the light of communication. They were darkened in their understanding. There's another verse that I want to bring in, and I'll just read. It's 1 Timothy 6:3 through 6:5. This is the section that the prosperity preachers never touch, because it has to do with people thinking that godliness is a means to financial gain, and they don't like to speak on that, because that's pretty much what some of these false ministers do. And they're basically teaching that, you know, follow these principles and you'll make money. That's why you never see them teach on it. But I want to focus on two words in this, but I'm going to read the three verses. 1 Timothy 6:3 through 6:5. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. Okay? That's sort of like understanding nothing, having their understanding darkened. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies. And that kind of reminds me of these conspiracies, having an unhealthy interest in all these controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, and evil suspicions. There it is, evil suspicions. And constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. I want to focus in on that word, evil suspicions. Because if we do not communicate with one another, you are leaving a playground for the devil, a dark playground. You are actually, by not communicating with, let's say you have a problem like I did with my friend. If I would have gotten awkward and just said, you know, I don't feel like dealing with this, I don't feel like fixing this, you know, besides, he misunderstood me and yada, 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 and that's all the work of the devil in your head. You know, if I hadn't worked that out, I would have left my friend open to the attacks of the devil. You're actually, you know, let's take, for instance, in a marriage. If you don't communicate, if you don't work to communicate what's really going on to your partner, you are leaving them open for the devil to attack them about you and to destroy your relationship. Because what you don't know can hurt you. That, you know, a lot of these sayings that we use in the world is a lie. What you don't know can hurt you. You know, in a relationship between two people, you have to communicate. This is why we have so many divorces. Well, first of all, it's because what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder or divide. And a lot of these is, you know, what I joined together, or what you joined together, whatever your name is, you know, what Tom joined together, or what Jane joined together, you know. And we're not including God in who we pick as a partner. That's one of the problems. But what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And we need to communicate. You know, if you know, you want to stay together, and that's the goal because of commitment, and commitment just means there's no option to back out. If you're in a relationship and you're entertaining an option to back out, you've already lost half the battle. Okay, just wanted to throw that in there. Been in that position. That's how I learned that lesson. But you're leaving your partner open to evil suspicions, and the devil's going to be in there saying, you know why they said that, don't you? They said that because they think this about you. And he stirs up that dissension in you, and then you say something to them, and you know it's mean, and they're so defensive, and they put up their wall that they're not even really trying to understand you anyway. So they're sitting there, and he's playing both of you against each other. You got to come in there. He's playing in the darkness. Communication of the truth is light. You got to lighten this up so everybody can see what's going on. We need to learn to communicate with one another. You know, and sometimes we hide things from other people because of pride. You know, one of the things that the Lord did to me is he just broke me. And I was broken seriously, because 5 months after I got saved, I went through some spiritual battles in my mind that some of you guys that haven't faced this level of spiritual battles, probably if I told you, you would think I was a little, you know, off my rocker. I mean, I faced some really deep spiritual battles by Satan. And let me tell you, he can twist the word. He can twist the word so well. If you don't know what's going on and you don't have the answers, he can rip the roots of your faith right out. You know, we don't give him enough credit for evil, how evil he is and how deceptive. Excuse me. So, you know, we've got to talk about this. We've got to turn the light on. He works in darkness, and he twists things, and he's working each person against the other, and he's your buddy until, you know, you do something, then he runs right to the throne and accuses you. Now, let's take the whole example of, you know, spouses communicating, okay? Let's take that whole example of spouses communicating with one another. And communication is light, and you're lighting up turning the light on your own understanding. And as I said, sometimes you hide things because of pride. You know, you don't want to let people in. But back to my original track, because I almost lost track there. But, you know, I went through these spiritual battles, and I was broken. And if you think of like a little clay pot that holds oil, like a little clay lamp, and it gets broken, that oil just runs out. And that's what happened to me. I don't hide anything. Any of you guys that email me, no, you're like, wow, I'm just talking to a normal person, because I'm not like thee, thou, this, that, God said this. And I don't try to hold back and retain that sense of, you know, like, ooh, I've got a fancy podcast, and, you know, I'm untouchable, you know. You get emails from me, and you're probably like, wow, why is he telling me this, you know? Because I don't hide anything. It's like I wear my heart on my sleeve, and everything just kind of like just flows out. But it's helped me so much because, you know, I'm letting this out. I just kind of like God broke me, and I just don't have any pride left. You know, I've been in certain situations that have just totally humiliated me, and I just don't have any, not any, because everybody's got pride, but, you know, compared to where I was, I don't have that level of pride, not because there's anything good in me, it's just because I've been put in situations where it just got broken. And So that's kind of like a good thing, because I'm always like, even when I'm at work, people looking at me because they're all hiding everything. Not everything, but, you know, a lot. And I'm like, you know, telling people what about my day and about the problems that I'm going through. And it's just like everything just flows out of me. And it's like everybody just kind of knows everything going on in my life. You know, people aren't used to that. You know, I take a lot of hits because of that. But, you know, at least I'm shedding light on myself through communication so people can understand me, whether they choose to listen or not. You know, I get a lot of rejection. You know, whether they choose to listen or not, at least I'm making the effort. I'm doing what I can on my side to let people understand what's going on. If they choose not to listen, or they want to take something that I'm letting out and twist it and use it back against me, you know, I can't help that. And neither can you guys when you do it, you know. You got to take that. And people will do it. You'll open up to people and immediately they'll just start twisting it and they'll use it against you. And it happens all the time. But the only thing we can do to protect ourselves is to let the truth out, to flow out, you know, and communicate with one another. Because if you don't, you got people sitting there with all these evil suspicions, and your enemy, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion. He doesn't say he is a roaring lion. He goes around like a roaring lion. And Jesus is the roaring lion. And that's when the king is angry. See Proverbs 20, verse 2. The king's wrath is like the roar of a lion. So he goes about roaring at you, trying to make you think God's mad at you. And how do you dispel that? You communicate to God and you confess to God. You know, it ties into the whole spousal communication. Well, you know, in the Bible, the reason God even created man and woman in that relationship was to explain the relationship between Christ and his church, the groom and the bride. And how do we open that up, you know? How do we have that good relationship with the Lord? We got to confess to the Lord. We got to tell him the truth about what's going on, because he's got forgiveness and he's got mercy. He says, and even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, you know? And so how do we do that? We confess. We open up and we communicate with our husband, which is Christ. We confess. We confess our sins, and then we're both on the same wavelength, you know? He knows, I know, he knows that I know, and I know that he knows. And you can even go deeper. I know that he knows that I know that he knows. No, I'm not going to go into that. But do you see what I'm saying? It's communication, and we can pull the rug out from under the devil. We can pull the rug out from under the devil with all these evil suspicions while he's running around communicating, you know, and a lot of people don't know, but God speaks to you through your own thoughts, but so does Satan. It sounds like your own thoughts, and if you can't recognize it, the difference, you know, you're going to get confused. You know, you're going to get, and what he tries to do is he tries to goad you into sin, causes you to sin, and then he comes back. He's your buddy when he's trying to get you to sin, and then he comes back and he accuses you. And then you feel guilty, and then what do? You try to hide from the Lord. And that's what he wants you to do. Because if he can get you to hide, he can break that communication down. So you've got, how do? You communicate with the Lord through confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He understands that we're sinners, that we're still dwelling in a flesh body that was neurally mapped and literally programmed before we came to him. We have all these neural mapping connections in our brain that, you know, inherent in the sin nature, plus the neural mapping that just makes it like supercharged, that you're addicted to all your old ways. The Lord understands how your flesh is built, that it's been corrupted and defiled, and that it's going to be a spiritual battle. That the whole thing, I think it's in Romans 7, where Paul says, you know, I want to do these things, but I can't figure out how to perform it. And the things I don't want to do against the Lord, I end up doing it. The Lord understands that, so he needs to give you grace and mercy. And as long as you're communicating with your husband, which is the Lord, and you're confessing these things, Satan can't come in and do anything. He can't, because you're telling the truth. You know, if you have two people that are in a relationship and, you know, the husband is like, you know, just or let's say the husband or the wife, it could be either one, and one person is, you know, having a problem with this other person, you know, trying to, you know, flirt with them or something. Go and tell your spouse, I got somebody flirting with me, you know, because if you hold that back, then somebody else may come and tell you, oh, your spouse, you know, is at work and they get flirted with all the time. And you're like, how come you didn't tell me? And then Satan comes in because she likes it. And what else isn't she telling you about? And he goes in there and he starts doing all these evil suspicions. And then you're sitting there and then you feel that sick feeling, that's my spouse. And then he starts, yeah, you see how that is? And he gets you all torqued up. And man, you just got to get it out. We need to communicate with one another. Communication is so important, and we need to push past that awkwardness and start communicating with one another and pulling the rug out from under the devil. We do it with the Lord. How, you know, because it's guilt. What is guilt? Guilt, it just doesn't feel good. It's on your conscience. And that's why we always got to go confess to the Lord. We need to communicate. Light, communication is like light. We witness to people. We're communicating to people. You know, we're communicating the truth. So I really wanted to drive that point home because it really brought me to a new understanding of, you know, how Satan's working. And this is one of the things that I think God is kind of chiseling this podcast down. And in the beginning, I kind of had, you know, for the first 6 years of after I got saved, I had a lot of things that I want to talk about and things that I had learned, and I kind of got all that out, and now I think, you know, the Lord is really showing me what this ministry is about. This ministry is for me to just sit here and experience things and God to show me things about what Satan's doing and to bring it to the brothers and sisters, you know, to my brothers and sisters and say, look, this is how Satan's doing this. You know, I'm shedding light on the fruitless works of darkness, and that understanding is given to me by the Lord, you know, and I'm sharing it with you guys, and it's kind of cool because just sitting here like, wow, Lord, you know, you're it's just amazing. It really is. It's just amazing, and I'm really thankful for it, and I got really excited when the Lord showed me it, and I was like, I can't wait to bring this to the listeners, you know. And like I said, some of you guys are probably more mature in the Lord than I am. But, you know, hopefully I got something, you know, in there that helped you. And there are going to be people out there like, wow, you know, this is, you know, it's huge. I hope some of you guys out there will have the revelation that I did. I got really excited about it. But, you know, I went through a period with my friend that was really upsetting me. And the Lord's like, you know, I'm allowing you to go through this because I'm going to see it. And you know what? Our relationship was stronger after that. It was awesome because we learned something, and now we're even better friends. So it's awesome. Like, God really heals people. He really does. We're so messed up in this world. This is Babylon. It's confusion. Everybody's like, yada, 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 la-di-da-di-da, babble, babble, babble. And it's all, you know, we're talking about all these things, and it's just, oh, man. It's just crazy. So I'm going to wind this down now. We're sitting at about 58 minutes. And I've been trying to keep the podcast between an hour and a half, and not getting it up towards 2 hours because I need to stay focused on things. I'm learning right along with you guys. But I really do appreciate you guys listening. I really do, and I really enjoy the feedback. And like I said, I got some great emails this week, and you guys know who you are, and I really appreciate that. But I wanted to bring something up to you guys. I got to change gears here a little bit because this is something that I'm very extremely uncomfortable talking about. I'm going through a really difficult time right now, and I love doing this podcast. I love this ministry because I feel like a lot of the rest of my life is wasted serving the beast, and this is my one joy, my one offering to the Lord. But I'm going through a very difficult time right now, and I know a lot of you guys are too. Financially, I'm hurting, and I know I'm not the only one. But you know, this could end up in me losing net access, and some of you listeners out there that you know that I converse with know what's going on, and I swore that I would never come on this podcast and ask anybody for anything. I put a donation button up on the site. This podcast is not about money. I got a real bad neural connection towards asking for any help because just you guys know how I feel about that because I preach against it. And I'm just asking some of you guys out there if you could help me out. I'm reaching my storage capacity on Podomatic. I'm sitting at about 1.85 gigs, and my service right now is only two gigs. So I'm either gonna have to like take some of the podcasts down to make more room, and a lot of people know the Podomatic site. So I could switch it over to Podango, and I do have an archive there, but I really don't want to take anything down. But even deeper than that, I'm getting attacked, and like I said, some of you guys that I converse with out there know what's going on, and I have struggled with this decision to mention it. I'm just going to leave it up to the Lord. I definitely am not asking anybody out there to help me that is in financial trouble. Please don't. Please do not do anything if you're having, you know, financial struggles. It's not a burden type thing. I don't want to burden you guys. And, you know, but if any of you guys out there are moved by the Lord, pray about it. If you guys are moved by the Lord out there to help me out, because I'm in the process of trying to make a move, and I'm getting behind on things. My job is... I'm sure you guys know the economy's failing. So, you know, I just don't want to lose net access and lose contact with you guys. I do have a laptop, you know, and, you know, I guess I could find a hotspot here and there, but I really want to keep my internet access and, you know, be able to stay in communication and keep doing this podcast. And it's, you know, it's getting down to the wire here. So if the Lord moves any of you guys, you know, pray about it. If any of you guys out there can help me out, it would be greatly appreciated. And I'll just leave it at that. So I'm going to wind up this podcast, and I just want to let you guys know that I do pray for you guys. I don't know all your names, but I just, you know, when I talked to the Lord, I was like, the Lord knows who you are. So, you know, for those of you guys that contact me, you know, I do pray for you by name. And I would ask that you would pray for me. One of the greatest ways that you can support me is to pray for me. Just pray that the Lord would, you know, surround me and keep me from some of these that attacks are coming, because they've been coming fast and heavy here lately. And like I said, I'll keep you guys in prayer. And I do love you guys. I love you because you enjoy God's word, and you love the same Lord that I love. And we've all been cleansed by the same blood of the Lamb, and we're brothers and sisters. So I'm going to wind this up. Let me give you my contact information. You can email me at truestream@podomatic.com. You can certainly do that if that's the one you're familiar with, but... The Podomatic email is really glitchy. They did improve it. I got to give Podomatic some credit. They did improve it, but it's still a little glitchy, and I much prefer you guys to email me at my email address that I set up for TrueStream, and that is epiphos@hotmail.com. That's epiphos@hotmail.com. And you can visit the TrueStream site at truestream.podomatic.com. And You can make comments on each individual podcast. There's a little comment link. I would really appreciate that. There is several features on there that's really cool. I have to give kudos to Podomatic. They really made a nice little community where we can all communicate with one another. So I encourage you to visit the site. That's truestream.podomatic.com and check out the Revelations Radio Network at revelationsradionetwork.com. And so I just want you guys to know I love you, and I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and if I don't see you guys on this side, I'm so looking forward to seeing you guys on the other side. God bless.